RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. To maintain the growth momentum, Indonesia strengthens barter trade with Pakistan. The Indonesian Sovereign Audit Board, BPK, optimizes performance measurement framework. Now the news in detail. Director General of International Trade Negotiation, Iman Panbagio, gives special attention to Pakistan. The developing country has donated significant trade surplus to Indonesia. The total trade of the two countries increases until 36.6%. To keep the growth, Indonesia plans to hold the second joint committee meeting, JCN, for the review Indonesian-Pakistan preferential trade agreement on 16 until 17 February 2017. Iman will also act as the head of Indonesian delegation to Islamabad, Pakistan. He also said that Pakistan is one of important partners for Indonesia, which needs more special attention because within the last 3 years, the total trade of the two countries increased to 36.6% from $1.6 billion in 2013, becoming $2.2 billion in 2015. The Indonesian Sovereign Audit Board BPK has sought to optimize the performance measurement framework PNF in order to improve the professionalism of sovereign audit institutions in Asia. This was stated by Indonesian Sovereign Audit Board Chairman Hari Ashar Aziz. The board is aware of the importance of implementing the performance measurement framework to strengthen the Asian organization of sovereign audit institutions. Previously, the Indonesian Sovereign Audit Board has organized the 51st Asian Organization of Sovereign Audit Institution, ASOSAI, governing board meeting in Bali on February 13 and 14, 2017. The meeting was participated in by 15 countries to discuss strategy developments of ASOSAI and its future plans. After delays, the Transportation Minister Director General for Railway Transportation, Prasetyo Budi Cahyono, said the government would very likely sign a contract for light rail transit LRT in Palembang, South Sumatra, with a state-run contribution fund Waskita Karya on Thursday. He said the project would be funded by state budget within 3 years until 2019, although the funding might last until 2021. This year, the government will disburse 2 trillion rupiah, around $149.9 million, for the project from the state budget. The signing ceremony was initially slated to take place last Friday along with the controversial LRT for Greater Jakarta. However, the ceremony was postponed to wait for Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi's agreement. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Chairman of General Election Commission KPU, Juri Ardiantoro, asks all elements to receive the result of the vote of simultaneous regional heads election 2017. He also said that all elements have to understand in a competition there surely brings the winner party or the loser. Juri Ardiantoro also calls on society not to make quit count as one of the references, but they must wait for the calculation result conducted by the Election Commission. Indonesia and the United States have launched a $40 million program for marine habitat conservation and sustainable management of fishery resources. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Yosef Donovan said on Wednesday in cooperation signing event at the Marine and Fishery Ministry in Jakarta, said that U.S. and Indonesia have a strong partnership in maritime sector, including in a new program aimed at conserving vital marine resources. The cooperation, Ambassador Yosef Donovan said, is also aimed at promoting sustainable management of natural resources. He also said that the program is expected to improve the management of 6 million hectares of marine habitats, to build and to support 15 marine conservation areas, and to improve fishery productivity, food and nutrition security, as well as to foster sustainable livelihood in 13 districts in Maluku, North Maluku and West Papua. Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono, Silviana Murni campaign manager, Nuhrawi Ramli said that the political parties who endorse Anies Baswedan Sandiaga Uno have asked the Democratic Party to join them ahead of their runoff election for Jakarta governor. Nuhrawi also said that the Democratic Party will first and foremost study the vision and mission of the two remaining tickets before making any decision to coalesce with either of them. Nuhrawi further said the Democratic Party will ask other three parties who endorse Agus Silpi in the gubernatorial race, the United Development Party, Triple P, the National Awakening Party, PKB, and National Mandate Party, PAN, to mull over their decision. The quick count results shows that Basuki Cahayapurnama, Jarod Saiful Hidayat, and Anies Baswedan Sandiaga Uno tickets have gathered four tiles that would allow them to compete in the runoff. The last item, the government of Indonesia has ignored a threat from gold and copper mining company PT Freeport Indonesia, the country's biggest taxpayer and major employer, to lay off its workers if an agreement with the government fails to be reached. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Arsyitan said, as reported by TribuneNews.com on Wednesday, Freeport had demanded legal guarantees from the government that the current policy would not change if there is a change in the government. Minister Darwin said such certainty is demanded with regard to the amount of taxes the company paid and the continuity of its operation in Indonesia. The taxes the company paid were impaired on declining trend, but the company had doubts about whether such policy would be maintained if there is a change in the government. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener commentary today entitling Indonesian Simultaneous Elections. The great event of simultaneous regional head election across Indonesia in 2017 has been taking place simultaneously in 101 regions across Indonesia on Wednesday, February 15, 2017. According to the General Election Commission KPU, there are about 4.2 million voters across Indonesia who had been registered to elect governors and deputy governors, mayors and deputy mayors, and region and deputy regions in their respective areas. The 2017 regional elections were held the second time after 2015. The enthusiasm of the voters this time was higher compared to the previous 2015 regional election. Moreover, the day of the voting was decided as a national holiday. Although the political climate in Jakarta seems to be heated ahead of the simultaneous election, in fact, it turned out that everything went relatively said peaceful and democratic. The hard work of the government, the election organizers, including the security forces, is necessary to be appreciated. The smoothness of these simultaneous elections cannot be separated from the voters, the contestants, and the succeeding teams of the respective candidates. Great attention towards the simultaneous elections comes not only from Indonesian people themselves but also from other countries. There are about 100 observers from 10 countries who came to Indonesia to follow all stages of the elections, from voting to the counting. This peaceful and smooth election have shown that Indonesia has become mature in a democracy. Indeed, these 2017 simultaneous elections are part of the honor of Indonesian people who build and maintain the dignified democracy. The most important thing of the simultaneous elections this time is that all people have to uphold the principle of direct, free, secret, and general election, and honest as well as fair elections. Hopefully, the success of this simultaneous election is also followed by election of qualified leaders both at central and regional level across Indonesia. As a result, the aspiration of Indonesian people to choose their leaders who are clean, incorruptible, fair, and close to the people through elections could be channeled well. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to our regular program Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on February 16, 1946. The first battle right was used. On 16 February 1946, for the first time, veto right was used by representative from Soviet in the United Nations UN. The veto right is used by Soviet to oppose one of proposal of Security Council of United Nations in case of Syria and Lebanon. The veto right belongs to five countries, namely United States, Russia, Britain, France, and China. The veto right's granting is that because the five countries are considered the winners of the World War II. The veto right is often used arbitrarily and based on the interests of each country's veto rights owners. Hence, the existence of veto received criticism and condemnation from the international community. The next event was in 1959 when Fidel Castro became Prime Minister of Cuba after President Fulgencio Batista stepped down. Rebellion, which was led by Fidel Castro in first January 1959, succeeded to overthrow Fulgencio Batista. After Batista escaped abroad, Castro was installed as a Prime Minister of Cuba on 16 February 1959. Fidel Castro served as a Prime Minister for 5 months. On 18 July 1959, he proposed to resign, but it was refused by Cuban's cabinet. Otherwise, the cabinet asked Fidel Castro to be president, replacing Manuel Urrutia, Cuban's president at the time, who was forced to resign. Well, listener, the last event was in 2005 when the Kyoto Protocol comes into force. The Kyoto Protocol is an international treaty which extends the 1992 United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, that commits state parties to reduce greenhouse gases emissions based on the premise that a global warming exists and man-made CO2 emissions have caused it. The Kyoto Protocol was adopted in Kyoto, Japan on 11 of December 1997 and entered into force on 16 of February 2005. There are currently 192 parties. Canadian withdrew effective December 2012 to the protocol. The protocol's first commitment period started in 2008 and ended in 2012. A second commitment period was agreed in 2012, known as the Doha Amendment to the protocol. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is education as profession to deal with ASEAN Economic Community, AC. The Speaker of People Council Assembly in PR Zulkifli Hasan reminds young people of Indonesia to prepare for ASEAN Economic Community AC. He added that one of ASEAN Economic Community's consequences is that there is a tight and free competition in the field of labor. While receiving the delegation of School and Political Democracy in Jakarta on Monday, Zulkifli Hasan affirmed that by implementing AC, the employment is also open in ASEAN region. This means that citizens of ASEAN member countries will come to work in Indonesia and vice versa. He added that addressing the implementation of the AC, Indonesian young generation must be highly educated and ready to deal with the competition of labor. Zulkifli Hasan also pointed out that Indonesian young generations have to master science and knowledge in various fields such as politics, law, and economics in a bid to win the competition. He said that Indonesian youth do not have to lose by young people from other countries. Zulkifli Hasan further emphasized that if Indonesian young generations do not prepare themselves, they will become porters in their own country. In one hand, Indonesian young generations should expect to become not only as a civil servant but also entrepreneurs. On the other hand, Indonesian young generations should also be able to dominate the political world and to be able to determine the direction of development of Indonesia, both medium and long term. Indonesian youth should also know the political parties and the people behind the parties. He also remarked that political parties become the bridge to be a leader, both local and national level. The young, who have a lot of knowledge and aspire to be a leader, must be active in political parties. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Director General of International Trade Negotiation Iman Panbagio gives special attention to Pakistan. The developing country has donated significant trade surplus to Indonesia. The Indonesian Supervisory Board BFIK has sought to optimize the performance measurement framework PNF in order to improve the professionalism of supervisory institutions in Asia. This was stated by Indonesian Supervisory Board Chairman Hari Asar Aziz. After delays, the Transportation Minister Director General for Railway Transportation, Prasetyo Budi Cahyono, said the government very likely signed a contract for light rail transit LRT in Palembang, South Sumatra, with state-run construction firm Waskita Karya on Thursday. Chairman of General Election Commission, KPU, Juri Ardiantoro, asked all elements to receive the result of the vote of the simultaneous regional heads election 2017. Indonesia and the United States have launched a $40 million US program for marine habitat conservation and sustainable management of fishery resources. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Joseph Donovan said on Wednesday in cooperation signing event at the Marine and Fishery in Jakarta that the U.S. and Indonesia have a strong partnership in maritime sector, including a new program aimed at conserving vital marine resources. Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono, Silviano Murni campaign manager, Nohrawi Ramli, said that the political parties that endorse Anies Baswedan Sandiaga Uno have asked the Democratic Party to join them ahead of the runoff election for Jakarta governor. The governor of Indonesia has ignored a tweet from gold and copper mining company PT Freeport Indonesia, the country's biggest taxpayer and major employer, to lay off its workers if an agreement with the government fails to be reached. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Palembang, South Sumatra Province. Stay tuned. Listener, religious tourism destination in Palembang, South Sumatra continues to grow. It can be seen from the inauguration of the Al Munawar Arabic Village. On February 11, South Sumatra Governor Alex Nurdin inaugurated Al Munawar Arabic Village. Through the ceremony, Governor Alex Nurdin called all communities surrounding the village to continue to maintain and preserve the Al Munawar Village. Located in the 13 Ulu village, the area is inhabited by Arabic descent communities. Variety of Arabic cultures are well developed in the village. Uniquely, the culture is able to blend with the local culture. The Al Munawwar village can be reached by using land and river transportation. If you go there by land transportation, you can ride public transportation from Tangga Takat or from the Tujuh Ulu Market near the Ampera Bridge. While if you take the village through the river, you can ride a boat from Benteng Kuto Besak to the edge of the village directly. Listener, Al Munawwar village is the first Arabic settlement in Palembang. It is located on the banks of Musi River, which often called Laut or Sea because the river is very large. Habib Abdurrahman Al Munawwar is a respected figure and also the originator of the village's name. He was one of the figures who firstly spread Islam in the region. There are about 30 heads of families inhabited the Al Munawwar village. They all have brotherhood because the rules are not allowed them to marry outside the village. But the rule is applied only for the women. The men are allowed to marry women outside the village, so that the Arabic blood still dominantly influenced from father's lineage. To enter the Al Munawwar village, you will cross a small street or alley that can only be passed by one car. Coming to the area, you will be treated by the unique residence homes. The Arabic houses surrounding an open field and the houses of the customs vicars are adjacent to the Musi River. There are a pyramid-shaped homes, the tradition house of South Sumatra. Besides, there are also the houses with a strong touch of the Middle East and European architectures. You can see the houses with high doors and a marble-floored wooden carvings at the top of the house. Moreover, there are 8 houses which are over 250 years old and still stands up strongly until nowadays. The houses are built by using woolen wood, while the beautiful marble floor supposedly imported directly from Italy. Listener, you are not only enjoy the beauty of the old architecture of the houses. In the Al Munawwar village, you can taste the typical culinary of the Middle East combined with a typical coffee of the village. In the village, you also can taste nasi minyak as the main menu that is always eaten with some side dishes such as chicken curry, salado, condiment, and acar nanas or pickled pineapple. Interestingly, when you want to wash your hands, you do not need to go far away to the bathroom because in addition to the dishes, there is available the silver teapot for washing hands. It is also provided typical Palembang coffee in a small gold pot which was poured into a small shot glass. The coffee is fragrant and tasty. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Al Munawwar Arabic Village in Palembang. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, it's with pleasure that I, Yubi Suryanto, can welcome you back to our segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we will provide some information on National Press Day. You can tune in to our show at www.voi.co.id as well. Listener, 61 years ago, on the 9th of February 1946, the Indonesian Journalists Association, or PWA, was officially established in Surakarta. Not only celebrated as PWA's birthday, the 9th of February is also celebrated as National Press Day. National Press Day was set under the President Provision No. 5 of 1985, which was assigned by President Suharto on January 23, 1985. At the time, the Press Council set the National Press Day to be held annually in the capital of Indonesia. The event is held simultaneously between press organizations, the public, and the government, in particular the local government, where the event takes place. Listener, National Press Day has become a gathering and common cause for improving the press and nation of Indonesia. The main theme for this National Press Day is to develop Maluku from the sea, fisheries, and tourism. The Maluku province was appointed as an organizer because Maluku was the most prepared to host National Press Day 2017. The National Press Day event started last Wednesday on the 1st of February with a social charity agenda, including a blood donation drive. Last Saturday, February 4th, the National Press Day held Jalan Sehat in Patimura Park along with some artists in Indonesia. In addition, there is also an action to clean up Nusa Niwe Coast Bay all the way to the Martavons Promontory that was followed by the National Press Day Exhibition 2017 and the Maluku Expo 2017, which involve many ministries, agencies, and districts, cities in Maluku province, as well as units in Lapangan Merdeka, Ambon. Monday, on the 6th of February 2017, the participants of National Press Day 2017 in Indonesia attended a dinner hosted by the mayor of Ambon, Angki Papilaya. Listener, on February 7, 2017, the Minister of the State of Apparatus Empowerment and Bureaucratic Reform, Asman Abnur, held a motivational workshop and signing of the Integrity Pact and Bureaucratic Reform. On the same day, Minister of Communication and Information, Rudiantara, the Minister of Foreign, Retno Marsudi, and the Minister of Justice, Yasona Lawli, will take a part in the material of presentation on World Press Freedom Day to the participant of National Press Day 2017. The National Works of Management's PWE conference will also be held on February 7, 2017. In the evening, the Governor of Maluku prepared a dinner for all the members of the press to attend at the same time, embedding the prosperity cards of PWE ahead of the main event on Wednesday, February 8, 2017, an entertainment event for the community was held in Lapangan Merdeka, Ambon. While the event convened a discussion about Adinegoro Journalism Award and Gala Dinner Pioneers of Journalism is a pioneering award in the field of media, will be also held a D1 to the main National Press Day 2017 event. The main event begins on the 9th of February 2017 will be open President Joko Widodo. That was today's edition of Miscellany with information on National Press Day. See you again on our next Miscellany with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back. With me, Hernita, in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Listeners, let's return to a nostalgic to remember love story, or the story of love and sorrow in the past for a moment, to forget our daily routine activities. Sometimes, memory songs can bring inspiration to you to make it more excited to live your life. Like the coming song called Jatuh Cinta, sung by a maestro of Indonesian pop song, Titiek Puspa. Listener, let's enjoy the song Jatuh Cinta by Titiek Puspa. La, 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 la.
Jatuh cinta berjuta rasanya, biar siang biar malam terbayang wajahnya. Jatuh cinta berjuta indahnya, biar hitam biar putih manislah nampaknya. Dia jauh aku cemas tapi hati rindu, dia dekat aku senang tapi salah tingkah. Dia aktif, aku pura-pura jual mahal. Dia diam, aku cari perhatian. Repotnya jatuh cinta berjuta indahnya, dipandang dibelai ampuh rasanya. Wow, jatuh cinta berjuta nikmatnya, menangis tertawa karena jatuh cinta. Wow, asiknya. La 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 la.
Yes, Titiek Puspa is an Indonesian famous, very talented singer and the star of the large screen. Her popularity still exists in Indonesian pop music in the country, even though she has already almost 80 years old. Perhaps these words are indeed appropriate with her popularity. Her existence in the world of artistry never fade off because of her creativity of works, both as a songwriter of Indonesian pop music or singer. Apart from being a singer and songwriter, sometimes Titiek Puspa also acted as a choreographer in some events of television stations. Her popularity is also known to foreign countries. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song by Titiek Puspa.
Hai gadis, adikku ayu, bahagianya seumurmu. Kau lincah, cantik dan lucu, tawa tangis kau berucu. Hai gadis,
membekali diri untuk bertahta.
There is no standard definition of love. Love is actually unique. Nobody can define the meaning of love. The only people who are in love, who can feel what and how the love is. In general, the meaning of love is the affection to anyone. Love has inspired Titi Puspa to create a song. Many songs of Titi Puspa is still enduring as a love song that we've just listened. Well, listener, let's enjoy the last song by Titi Puspa, entitled Adinda. Have a good day, listener, and sampai jumpa.
Sayang Adinda, namamu tiada duanya. Adinda, oh sayang Adinda, di kau intan bermata. Sejuknya embun dini hari, sesejuk tutur senyum kau beri, hangatnya sinar matahari, sehangat cinta yang kau beri. Sejak ku mengenal dirimu, dunia nampak indah gemilang.
aku hidup hanya untukmu. Jangan, jangan, jangan tinggalkan aku. Adinda, oh sayang Adinda, cintamu tiada duanya. Adinda, oh buah hatiku, kau dan aku selalu satu. Mengenal di kau, dunia nampak indah gemilang. Aku hidup hanya untukmu. Jangan, jangan, jangan tinggalkan aku. Adinda, oh sayang Adinda, cintamu tiada duanya. Adinda, oh buah hatiku, kau dan aku selalu satu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Seluruh jiwa raga, bibir senyum, kata halus merayu memanja kepada setiap mereka yang datang. Dosakah yang dia kerjakan? Sucikah mereka yang datang? Kadang dia tersenyum dalam tangis, kadang dia menangis di dalam senyuman. Oh, apa yang terjadi? Terjadi yeah.
yang benci dirinya, ada yang butuh dirinya, ada yang berlutut menyintanya, ada pula yang kejam menyiksa dirinya. Ini hidup wanita si kupu-kupu malam, bekerja bertaruh seluruh jiwa raga. Bibir senyum, kata halus merayu memanja kepada setiap mereka yang datang. Dosakah yang dia kerjakan? Sucikah mereka yang datang? Kadang dia tersenyum dalam tangis, kadang dia menangis di dalam senyuman. Oh, apa yang terjadi? Terjadilah.
Pikir-pikir, apanya, 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 Don, yang sebelah mana, sesuatu sangat menarik, oh. Pikir-pikir apanya, apanya, apanya dong, dia punya apa? Sungguh mati aku tertarik. Mungkin itu rambutnya, dahinya, semuanya biasa saja. Coba aku lihat lagi, yang mana yang menarik? Makin aku memandangnya, makin aku jatuh hati.
Sebelah hatiku mau, sebelah hatiku. itu surya berapi sinarnya. Tiba-tiba redup langit gelap. Hati yang bahagia terhentak seketika. Malapetaka seakan melinau. Berita menggelegar, aku terima. Kekasih berpulang untuk selamanya. Hancur luluh rasa jiwa dan jasad membeku. Doa tulus dan air mata. Segala dosa ku mohonkan ampunannya. Seakan terjawab dan kau terima.
Apa lagi dia yang kau cinta?
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.